Shalom and good evening from Israel and good morning from California and welcome back to Medicine Beyond. I'm Amir Tsarfati from Galilee in Israel and together with me is Pastor Barry Stagner from Southern California. Shalom, Pastor Barry. How are you, my friend?
Shalom, Amir. Great to be back at it.
Yes, it's been a while. Although last week we gave a special Q&A on the Gaza war and the peace plan, the 20 points plan of President Trump. It was more in a Q&A mode. This is the first Medicine Beyond we're doing in weeks now since both you and I were busy traveling in the past few weeks. Would you do us the honor and start with a prayer?
Absolutely. And Father, we are so grateful again for the opportunity to reach around the world from the individual studios that we're sitting in, God, and knowing that your word has authority and power. And so, Lord, we pray that you would reveal to us truth about the days in which we live. And Lord, especially as we saw in the intro, we pray for the young people of the world that are being indoctrinated with lies and falsehoods about the nation of Israel today. So we pray for clarity today, and we ask for it in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen. So, folks, just about a few minutes ago, the IDF struck a terrorist cell in Gaza once again after a very busy night last night. But before we go there, Pastor Barry, let's start somewhere else.
Well, Amir, it's kind of interesting. We're hearing the word genocide thrown all over the place today. But the curious thing about that is it's applied to everywhere but where it should be applied. And, you know, there's something going on in the Northern African region, directly south of Egypt. And this particular region of the world is also named in the Ezekiel War. But there is actual genocide going on in Sudan as we sit here in Amir. As I was reading through our schedule for the day, I couldn't help but think that, you know, the 20th century was the deadliest century for Christians. There were more Christians killed in the 20th century than the previous 19 centuries combined. And much of that is being contributed to from nations in Africa. So maybe you can bring us up to speed on what's happening in Sudan specifically.
Yeah, well, just so we get an understanding of what's going on there, in the last 2 days, more than 2,500 civilians were massacred by the Rapid Support Forces, the RSF, which is a paramilitary group in Sudan that is fighting against the actual government. I know there is a mistake on the screen. It says two times Rapid Support Forces. But the first one is the Sudanese military, and the second one is the Rapid Support Forces. We'll fix it sometime later. But what I do want you to know is that ever since 2023, there is a struggle, a power struggle between two generals. One is the supreme leader, and the other one is his second in command that was running the paramilitary organization. And the second in command was waiting for the paramilitary organization to be implemented into the security forces of Sudan officially. And he was denied. And so then it became a chaotic thing. And nowadays, basically the southwestern part of Sudan is controlled by the Rapid Support Forces, while the rest of the country is by the Sudanese armed forces. And, you know, it's amazing because the city of El Fasher used to be, up until 2 days ago, controlled by the government forces, although it was surrounded by the Rapid Support Movement. And so it was under siege for months, and people died from hunger, and a lot of people suffered from great famine. This is where famine is. Thousands of people were suffering from malnutrition and died. And again, in the last 2 days, the Rapid Support Forces took over the city, and the scenes are horrific. I did put on Telegram a few videos. I blurred them, but if you want to watch them, you can see it. We can't show it here because the algorithm will immediately block this video on YouTube and on Facebook. But if you want to go to see the videos of what's happening there, it's horrific. Women and children were, they were slaughtered. They hanged them on trees. Women, mothers and children were executed right there. You can see she's holding her son and there's two armed men. And 2 seconds later, they shot them both. They shot dozens of men in excavated pits and then horrible things. And the interesting thing is, Pastor Barry, not a single protest in any street, not a single protest in the UN, not a single protest of any Western government, of any human rights organizations. It's a disgrace. And I guess you and I know, no Jews, no news.
No news.
Nobody, exactly. Nobody really loves the Muslims. They just hate the Jews. So if we're not involved, why should we report on Muslims massacring Muslims? It's almost like that's how things should be, no? It's unbelievable. This is 2,500 people in 2 days massacred. And the massacre is going on right now as you and I speak right now. No one does anything. In fact, there's a lot of foreign countries that are involved. There is the Iranians that are arming the government forces. There is the Saudis and the Emiratis that are arming the rebels forces. The Saudis are, you know, it depends where and who and how. Russia is always looking who is winning and that is helping that side because Russia wants control over the resources, over access to the Red Sea, and so on. So we're talking about an amazing clash of interest that has nothing to do with how these countries align themselves with one another on other issues. So it's quite interesting to see all of that, but it's quite interesting to see the deafening silence that we see here. No Greta, no Tucker, no Candace, no influencers, no one, zero condemnation. No one talks about these poor people that are now being slaughtered. And so this is super, super sad to see that. That's where the real massacre, that's where the real genocide, that's where the real famine is. But as always, as you and I know, if it's not about the Palestinians and it's not Israel involved and there's no Jews, there's no news. And I know that Pastor Barry, you also sent us a report on the Nigeria situation with Christians being slaughtered and nobody's talking about it. Am I right?
Absolutely, Amir. It's just amazing to see what groups like Boko Haram are doing, really unchecked. And, you know, the wholesale slaughter of people just because of their religious affiliation. I think all of this points to what's going to happen during the tribulation period. And I couldn't help but think of Revelation chapter 6, Amir, when you were showing these pictures of this just brutal execution of a mom holding her child. And, you know, this is the mentality that is necessary when the tribulation kicks off, because we know, you know, the guy in Revelation 6:2 is going to ride onto the world scene. He's going to establish a covenant with many. And then the rider on the second horse, the red horse, is going to take peace from the earth and cause people to butcher one another. And this mentality is already in place. And boy, I tell you, Amir, if there's anything that points to the lateness of the hour, this would certainly be among that package. But yeah, Africa, Northern Africa, you know, we're just seeing the wholesale slaughter of people. And yet, because anti-Semitism is demonic in nature, nobody wants to point fingers at anybody except for the Jews and using the Palestinians as a platform. Amir, you know, speaking of the Palestinians, we've got the Gaza situation going on. And, you know, I have to say, I was shocked at the release of all 20 living hostages. People ask me at church all the time, you know, what do you think's going to happen? So, well, Hamas is going to drag their feet. You know, this is their ace in the hole, so to speak, holding on to hostages. I couldn't believe that they actually did release the living hostages. But again, now we see the typical Hamas protocol in dealing with agreements that they made with Israel. And, you know, again, the ceasefire is a bit of a joke.
Remember, two things contributed to that. And the two of them are two things that, let's put it this way, had nothing to do with any peaceful means or peaceful measures. One was the Israeli decision to go all the way into Gaza City, which put Hamas under enormous pressure because that's the last stronghold they had. And the second is the strike in Doha. When the strike in Doha took place, that caused the Qataris to be so afraid that they ran to President Trump and begged him to protect them. And President Trump said, you guys need to understand something. Hamas must release the hostages. That's the most important thing for the Israelis. And by the way, I can criticize that approach until tomorrow, but that's the reality. The Israelis are afflicted by a disease called hostagism, or whatever it is, which we don't mind having 12 soldiers killed for the sake of releasing one living hostage. It's something inside us. I cannot. Maybe one day somebody will be able to find the real reason for it. But we've been paying enormous prices for those type of things. But again, Netanyahu realized unless we release them, the Israeli society will never be able to, feel that we did win this war, and B, we could never heal the inner wounds that we have because of this tragedy. So what happened is Trump basically convinced, with the help of the Israeli smart bombs, he was able to convince the Qataris that they must convince Hamas that the hostages are not their assets, but they're a liability. And the minute they will release them, their problems will be solved. And that is why they ran to release all 20 in one day. And now they're trading with parts of bodies and bodies because they want to stall everything in order to establish their, their control over Gaza once again. And so this is what we see right now. We see that there's still 13 hostages that are still in their hands. Ever since the agreement in the last few 8-9 days, three were dead hostages were already released. You can see them on the screen right now. We're talking about Tamir Adar, Arye Zalmanovich, and Tal Chaimi. All three of them were returned. But then, 2 days ago, Hamas released, it was an unbelievable thing. Hamas, look what they did. They pulled out of a building remains of a body, dumped it into a pit that they supposedly were digging, covered it with sand, called the Red Cross, and said, look, we just dug here and we found this body. Which, by the way, the body was not there. The body was brought out of the building, which means they have bodies that they're already holding. They just pretend that they're searching for those bodies. But the shocking thing was not only that trick, that staging of the whole thing, but once we received the remains, it was actually remains of a hostage that we already retrieved his body 2 years ago. Tamir Tzarfati, as you can see here, as you can clearly see, we found his body in the courtyards of the Shifa Hospital during our first maneuver into Gaza in November of 2023. And we retrieved his body. Apparently, what Hamas did, Hamas chopped his body so they can later on trade with parts of the body later on. And so what they did, now was their time to trade with the leftovers of his body, as if it's a body of a hostage that has not been released yet. These are monsters. These are traitors. These are demonic creatures that are trading with body parts, and they have no problem with that. I mean, that's who they are. So basically, they did not bring us back any dead hostage in almost for over a week now. Now they said that they found the remains of two more hostages, Hooper and Baruch. And you can clearly see that. These are the two of them, as you can see. It's Amiram Cooper and Saar Baruch. By the way, Saar Baruch, unfortunately, was killed in friendly fire. We tried to rescue him, and during the rescue operation, he was killed. And Hamas ran from the tunnel, dragging his body with them. So it's not like we killed him, but the operation caused them to shoot him. And now they said that they are ready to release him. But we also know that they have at least two more bodies in their hands of military figures. Lieutenant Hadar Goldin, who was actually kept there since 2014. And also Colonel Asaf Hamami, who was the commander of the Southern Brigade of Gaza area, who was killed on October 7th. And they know that these are key people that Israel, like symbols for Israel. One is a commander of a brigade, and the other one is someone we've been waiting for 11 years. So Hamas is stalling, they're keeping those bodies because it's a psychological warfare. Let's get the Israelis, you know, cook more in their agony. And so, look, we know that Hamas has 10 bodies, and maybe there's only 3 bodies that they cannot find. So out of the 13 they have, 10, they either hold their bodies or they know where the body is. And they drag their feet. By the way, take a look at this video of the staging of this whole thing. Look what they do. Look at the red circle. They pull out of the building the remains of the body, dump it into the pit right there. Then they cover it with sand and dirt. Look what they do. See, they cover it. And then they call the Red Cross and said, look what we found under the rubble here. These stupid people don't even know that there is an IDF drone that is filming them. Look what they do. They cover the body, and now they pretend to have found it with a bulldozer. Look at this. Unreal. Look, they're now saying, they give the bulldozer direction, and as if he found the body. There you go, we found him. And now they call the Red Cross. Look what we found. The Red Cross is coming. We found the remains of a body, and they are cleaning it, the dirt, and that's it. Guys, these are demons, demonic forces that we're dealing with. So again, 13 dead hostages are still there. 10, Hamas knows exactly where they are, and some of them, Hamas even hold their bodies with them. They're not even buried anywhere. So let's see if they will release more today or tomorrow. But remember, all they do is stalling because they know that once they give us all the hostages, then the second stage comes, and the second phase of this whole plan of Trump, Hamas must disarm and Gaza must be demilitarized. And that's the thing they don't want. So they are dragging their feet with the hope that their Qataris, their friends, are going to somehow help them staying in power. And that's the horrible thing that we see. And remember, apart from that, there is another violation. They were shooting at Israeli soldiers that were within the yellow line with RPGs and snipers. And we lost 2 soldiers last week, and we lost one yesterday in the same, more or less the same area. And this is the soldier we lost yesterday. He's a father of 5 kids, 35-year-old. And they shot him with a sniper shot him within the area that we control. They came out of a tunnel shaft and killed him. And so Israel decided to retaliate like we did last time. And by the way, let no one fool you. There is no ceasefire. There is no ceasefire. One of the Israeli journalists, Lav Kharkov, received testimonials from soldiers on the ground. And the soldiers told her, We're working harder now than before the ceasefire. Before the ceasefire, the Air Force would just obliterate anyone who poked their head above ground. Now, they said, we can't do anything. And also they said, Hamas is shooting and trying to hurt us every single day. There is no ceasefire. Now, you keep hearing President Trump saying that there is ceasefire. Vice President Vance saying there is ceasefire. Rubio says there is ceasefire. And you see also that the Israelis are trying to cover up also. I mean, look at this. A day before the Israeli soldier was killed, another Israeli heavy engineering equipment was struck by an RPG at the same location where a day later the Israeli soldier, and by the Israeli soldier who was killed was the operator of this bulldozer. So my point is, because there were no casualties the day before, the IDF did not even report it. So the public did not even know about it. The day after a soldier got killed, everybody learned about it. So we're trying to cover up. The Americans are trying to cover up. Hamas is celebrating because they know everybody wants to keep this ceasefire. And the question is that a joke or what? And now comes the story, and we have to remember this whole illusion of control. We have to remember there is a much bigger picture that the leaders of Israel and America are looking at, and they're not going to let Hamas spoil the big plan. And if you want, we can talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, Amir, I've been thinking as you were kind of combining our first couple of stories, and the mention of Hamas, you know, of disarming, you know, that would be problematic for them on two fronts. One, you know, not only would they basically be defenseless militarily, but they'd also lose control over the general populace. And, you know, that picture that you were showing in Sudan of the mother and the child, the two armed soldiers' shadows, you know, that scene's playing out in Gaza right now also with Hamas and Palestinian citizenry. Anybody that may have been deemed of being sympathetic to the Jews is being executed. And you're right. I don't think we can say too often that this is just demonic. There's no other way to explain it. And Amir, as you were pointing to the big picture, you know, Israel certainly has a prophetic development that's happening right now, and that, you know, Israel is prophesied to be flourishing at the time of the regathering, and God's going to bless them. And, you know, there's some dreams, I think, that extend beyond the borders of Israel to other nations in the surrounding area, of trade routes and dreams that would be beneficial to so many in the region. And that has a couple of hindering factors to it. Maybe you can talk about that as well.
Yes, so as you so eloquently and beautifully alluded to, the time of prosperity is next. Israel literally won this war. I mean, we've got almost all of our hostages back. Hamas is 80% of Gaza is destroyed. We control parts of southern Lebanon. We control parts of southern Syria. We humiliated the Houthis and Iran, and there is no more Assad forces and army. It's gone. So, in a sense, this particular local problem should be contained in order to look at the big picture, which the big picture is something that Netanyahu and Trump were already planning in the first Trump term. And the Abraham Accords then were the first step towards something much bigger. And let me show you, and I know it's very easy. I get frustrated by what I see in Gaza. A lot of our followers, yours and mine, are, when they read the reports and they see the posts, they also get frustrated. We all get frustrated when we see that it seems like we're bluffing each other and fooling each other. But let me show you the big picture. So I'm going to bring this map so you can understand. We're talking about the India, Middle East, Europe Economic Corridors goal. It's the IMEC. We're talking about a trade route that President Trump and Netanyahu are working on that will start in India, go through Dubai, through Saudi Arabia and Jordan into the Haifa port in northern Israel, and all the way to Europe from there. We're talking about oil pipes, gas pipes, railroad, and roads for trucks, for cars, for trains, and for gas and oil to flow. And that is, of course, the speed up trade between Asia and Europe. It will go up by 40%. It will diversify energy routes, and we're not going to be held hostage by Iran and the Straits of Hormuz or the Houthis and the Gulf of Aden anymore. It will digitize the logistics, which will make things much easier, and strengthen alliances between democratic and market-oriented economies. It will bring so much prosperity to all these countries involved, and I'm sure that also to some people that are very close to President Trump as well. But overall, this is the direction that this overall Middle East, Europe, India, Middle East, Europe economic corridors goal is all about. That's the big plan. And that's why President Trump said the following words about Hamas's violation yesterday aboard Air Force One a few hours ago. Listen to what he said a few hours ago.
We'll be killed. We don't want that.
Will Hamas decommission its weapons? That's a key part of the next step with this.
That's starting because we're getting into phase two, and that's starting. But you have to understand, Hamas is a very small part of the overall Middle East peace. We have peace in the Middle East. If we have to, we'll take out Hamas very easily, and that'll be the end of Hamas. We would rather not. We made a deal with them where they were going to behave, and they have to behave. If they don't behave, they get taken out. And it could be from numerous countries. It could be from Israel, but it could also be from other countries. Numerous countries have already called me that are parties to the deal and said, we'd love to do it if you'd want us to do it. And these are powerful countries. These are not countries to be toyed with.
Yeah. So what he just said, and a lot of people didn't get it, he just said, Hamas is just a small piece in the overall Middle East peace plan. He basically said the Gaza thing is like a mosquito, that Hamas is just a mosquito that we need to kill if it bothers us. But the big picture is not Gaza. And if needed, we will destroy Hamas. But the goal is not to get stuck with Gaza. Gaza is just something that we'll take care of. But the overall plan is much bigger. It's this road and route from India via Arabia towards Jordan and Israel, Middle East, of course, all the way to Europe. And that is the big thing. That's the big thing that everybody's talking about, everybody's working hard on. And that is why President Trump was able to put so many countries as part of the guarantees for the peace in Gaza. Everybody understand, Gaza is just a small part in something much, much bigger. So we have to understand now that the two problems that we have now is Hezbollah, we need to make sure it's disarmed, and Hamas, we have to make sure it's disarmed. And of course, when Iran is planning something, we need to make sure that look, with Hezbollah, if we talk about that, Israel has been attacking Hezbollah in the last couple of weeks non-stop, every single day. Take a look at how many people we killed there and how many areas we struck there in the last few days. It's phenomenal. So these are the key people that we just killed in the last few days between October 20th and October 26th. Alma Research Center wrote an amazing piece on it. And this is the area also that we struck, both in southern Lebanon in the Bekaa Valley. We have to remember that there is six different border crossing between Syria and Lebanon that are completely open, and Hezbollah is smuggling so much weapon that Iran sent them into Lebanon. So Israel is watching that. Everybody can see that. Look at this map and see for yourself. This is Israel, as you can clearly see. And that's the area of southern Lebanon. This is Lebanon, right above us, up north. That's Syria, that is wrapping Lebanon from the north and from the east. And these are the six places through which the smuggling, look, they're smuggling everything. They're smuggling drinks and they're smuggling goods and everything. Whatever you can, just smuggle between the two. A lot of people are making a lot of money. And Israel targeted in the last few days some big, heavy-duty weapon traders, armed dealers. And on both sides, both in Syria and in Lebanon, some people are making good money. So that's the first threat. Take a look at all these attacks that we had on vehicles of people that are helping rearming Hezbollah in the south and on the northeast. But apart from that, there's also information about new facilities that Iran is right now building. And Iran is trying to use the enriched uranium that is left. See, they don't have centrifuges anymore, but they have enriched uranium. What are we going to do with it? We have 60% enriched uranium. Now we need to take it and enrich it to 90%. So all they need is to put together more centrifuges and start spinning them in order to concentrate the uranium. And we just found out a new site in the area of Isfahan that they are now working on. And so Israel and America will have to address that. And I believe that from now on, it's going to become a routine in addressing the Iranian threat, addressing the Lebanese, and addressing the Gaza threat. And I think it will become, every few months, another round of mowing the lawn in those three. So the main big picture will not be harmed and somehow destabilized. So that's it.
Yeah, Amir, there is a big picture, there's a bigger picture, and then there's a really big picture that this all feeds into. I couldn't help but think as you were talking about the nations that you mentioned that are part of this corridor that are mentioned in the Ezekiel war scenario that are siding with the nation of Israel. You tap Israel into the European energy markets and you've done huge damage to Russia. 60% of Russia's gross domestic product is energy-related materials. And so you've got Iran, who basically the only major export income they have right now is into South American countries where there are nations who are willing to buy their oil and other nations as well. So you've got, you know, a serious motivating factor to shut down this corridor.
Correct.
On the part of the invading nations recorded in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. So that's the big, big, really big picture, I think, that we're watching unfold even now. Yeah. And, you know, the situation here in the States, Amir, I think it's just, it's not, I don't want to make too broad of a comparison, but it's much like what happened on October 7th. And in a matter of days, you know, everything began to unfold and unravel in the thinking of so many people siding with Hamas over Israel and these other things. And the same thing has happened with the death of Charlie Kirk. We've seen things just take a dramatic turn, and this these voices that have huge audiences are basically reshaping the debate on Israel. Maybe you can talk about some of these recent events, especially that have highlighted that there's some folks with a mic that shouldn't have one.
Yeah, well, remember, it's very easy to expect the left, the liberals that are often siding with, you know, the communist and the socialist. Israel has always been the aggressor in their eyes. And then comes the Islamists that are now flooding America. And for them, we're also Satan, small Satan. America is a big one. But still, Israel is demonized by them. But over the last 6 months or so, we see an amazing growth on the far right and the conservative movement of influencers and some media guys and even some lawmakers. And they have become as amazing anti-Semitic voices. Like, it's phenomenal. One of them, Steve Bannon, decided a few days ago to call for a three-state solution a state for the Muslims, a state for the Jews, and divide Jerusalem, and Jerusalem should be Christian, another state. And obviously you can tell that these people have zero biblical understanding, zero knowledge of the Bible, because there is no such thing as a Christian country. When Israel will accept the Lord upon his return, and that will be when everybody will believe in the Messiah, okay? That's going to happen after the tribulation upon his return. Until then, there is no three-state solution, not even two-state solution in a sense. It's very interesting to see their biblical ignorance, and they are embarrassing not only themselves, but their audience, because many of the audience are, I guess, they call themselves Christians, and they believe, wow, that's a great idea. I'm a Christian, and there should be a Christian state, blah, blah, blah. Jerusalem is ours also. It demonstrates and displays such poor understanding of the Bible. But then there's, of course, the interview of Tucker Carlson, who I call him Tucker Carlson. And he interviewed a known anti-Semite called Nick Fuentes, someone who admires Hitler and Stalin. Can you imagine? Tucker has a problem with Israel. There's no problem with the admirers of Hitler and Stalin. Not at all. Not even. He didn't even confront the guy about that. By the way, Charlie Kirk detested Nick Fuentes. He stayed away from him. And he rebuked Dinesh D'Souza for even debating with Nick Fuentes. He said, you gave him a stage. You shouldn't have done that. So think about Tucker Carlson now representing Turning Point USA in so many places, and he's now the big voice doing exactly the opposite of what Charlie had in mind. By the way, Tucker just said that he detests Christian Zionists. And by the way, let me make it clear, Charlie Kirk defined himself as a Christian Zionist, just so you understand. But a few days ago, an interesting guy prepared this video about Tucker. Maybe we can see a short clip of it.
I lie. If I'm really cornered or something, I lie. I really try not to.
America's supporting Israel because it's an ally.
I don't even know what those words mean. I'm just saying
they're an ally, right? I mean, they both...
I don't know what that means to be an ally.
Qatar is like one of our closest allies in the world. The largest American air base in the Middle East is in Qatar. They're a close ally of ours.
See?
I don't know what it means when it applies to Israel, but I know exactly what it means when it applies to Qatar.
And amazing. I lie. And I lie, as he said, he admits. So, and by the way, he is funded by Islamic money. He is singing their music. And it is disgusting to see that, because millions of people are following him. And just so you know, again, the problem is not that Tucker Carlson has followers. That's fine. But now he becomes the face of Turning Point USA. And this is the problem. Now the new generation, the youth of America that wants a change and they want to get closer to God. Everybody's telling me there is a revival in America amongst the young adults. Well, if that's the guy you're going to start listening to, I'm not sure it's the right revival, and I'm not sure you're being fed by the right person. It's a disgrace. And by the way, that's one of the reasons when I attended Charlie's memorial in Phoenix, I saw Tucker giving a speech, and it was disgusting what he said. He literally accused the Jewish people for assassinating Jesus because they did not agree with what he said. He literally tried to make it parallel to what was done to Charlie. He painted Jesus as a martyr, which is an opposite of what Jesus came to, an opposite of the gospel. The guy displays horrific ignorance of the Bible. Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay down my life, I can take it back. Right. He came to die. No, and by the way, it's the Romans that killed Jesus, if you really want to go into the details of who literally actually killed him. But the point is this. Can you imagine any idea that Jesus was, it was an accident that he was killed and it should have never happened? Is that the gospel? Is that what he said to his own disciples before he even reached Jerusalem? He even prophesied that it has to happen and rebuked Peter for even suggesting that it should not happen. Unbelievable.
Happen, yeah.
Exactly. So we see that and it's very sad.
It is. And Amir, I was thinking, actually, we were talking the other day about this very subject, and I couldn't help but think of the words of Charles Stanley. And he said something that I think really just kind of, excuse me, was shocking to consider. I'm sorry.
You're coughing and I'm drinking. And,
yeah.
Maybe that will help you.
Yeah. And Charles Stanley made the point that you were just making. He said, you know, the Jews didn't kill Jesus. The Romans didn't kill Jesus. He said, you know who killed Jesus?
We all did.
The Father.
Yeah.
The Father. He said, the Father gave his son to the cross. Correct. And this was the plan before the foundations of the world. You know, if you really want to get down to it, this was the plan. God sent his son into the world for dying, for the purpose of dying for the sins of the world. And again, you know, I couldn't help but think of that comment that Steve Bannon made about the three-state solution and paralleling that with the ignorance of Candace Olson that was displayed when she was talking about, you know, the poor treatment of those, the Arabs and Muslims in Israel, and how they're limited to a quarter of the city and they can't go out of it, you know, having no clue what the four quarters there in the old city are all about. It's just, again, it's gross ignorance. It's demonic in nature. And it is sad to see that these are going to be the people. By the way, Steve Bannon is on the tour with Tucker and others going around the universities in the States. It's just shocking.
Yeah.
But
I can tell you that with at least with Candace, I know that she was different. I mean, she was in Jerusalem. She saw everything. She saw everybody's walking freely everywhere. The fact that there is a Christian quarter doesn't mean that Christians cannot leave the Christian quarter, nor does it mean for the Muslim. Not anyone that walks in the streets of Jerusalem sees so many Arabs in the Jewish quarter, Jews walking in the Arab quarter. It's stupid to think that that's. But then something happened to her, and I think that with the common sense, I think that demon that got into her made everything she saw and heard then completely change. And it's scary to see that. You can see a woman that is totally obsessed with Israel and totally obsessed with proving that Charlie was actually killed by his own people and all of that. And it's very sad. I think it's very, very sad to see that. But anyway, I hope people have the brains and the sense of discernment.
Yeah, if you were with us during the introduction, there was a challenge to join the fight for the minds of our young people. And one of the ways that you can join that fight is by subscribing to our YouTube channels, liking, commenting, and sharing this particular video, which I think these kind of things are few and far between out there in the cyber world. So we need your help. And, you know, I think Amir packaged that program well, or that introduction well, about our young people. It is a fight. We are at war for the minds and hearts of our young people. And the same is true for people who jump online and watch programs such as these. So help us out. Make sure you're subscribed and sharing and liking and commenting, because this, you know, there's not a whole lot of folks out there that are sharing this kind of information. So those who are need your support through these means so we can fight the good fight of faith. And Amir, there's a minority summit that is coming up here in the not-too-distant future. Maybe you can tell us.
No, it's actually first of a kind that it took place yesterday in Tel Aviv. First of a kind, Israel hosted a minority summit of Alawites, Druze, Shiites, Christians from the Middle East, as well as Kurds. All of them were hosted in Tel Aviv in a conference in, because Israel cares about the minorities, believe it or not. We care about the minorities. We actually stopped the massacre of the Druze by sending support and by attacking the forces that came against them. In fact, take a look at what the leader of the Druze, take a look at what the leader of the Druze said yesterday in that conference. Do you understand? There is a sense of gratitude among the people in the Middle East. It's the people in the West that have no clue what's going on here. They just follow some propaganda and stupid lines that they don't even know what it means. They don't understand the locals in the Middle East love Israel and understand who the bad guys are and thank Israel for helping them. And you just saw for yourself, it's the Druze people are thanking Israel for standing there. You know, I wish we could help more, but the Alawites are too far out of our reach, and the Kurds are pretty safe, or may I say strong, under U.S. Help beyond the Euphrates River. And we help the Christians as well, wherever we can. So all these allegations of apartheid in Israel, these are stupid allegations. You can see photos and videos. In one train cart in Israel, you can see Muslim women, Israeli secular women, Orthodox Jewish women, and soldiers in the same cart, in the same train, traveling together across the country. There is no segregation there. And by the way, even if one time on a random tour somewhere in the old city, a dumb Israeli Jewish kid spits on someone, that's nuts. I mean, I've led tours for 25 years in Israel. It never happened. Thousands upon thousands of people. But if it happened once, that's not what Israel is. That's what that boy is. And no one in Israel supports that. But that's what they do. They will take one thing and blow it up as if that's Israel. Israel hates the Christians. Israel is... And it's so sad because it's exactly opposite to the reality of the Middle East and of Israel. And the locals know better. And there you can see, all they have is words of gratitude to Israel. What's going on over there, by the way, with your shutdown, government shutdown? I mean, from what I understand, it's a pretty big deal over there right now.
Well, it really is. And the Schumer shutdown, I think, in the eyes of many, at least, are being exposed for what it is. Of course, we know it's all manipulation. And, you know, they're trying to slip things through on the next budget, excuse me, in order to continue in some of the giveaways that they hope will buy them some votes. But there's been kind of a curious backlash, Amir, that many are finding out the actual numbers of people that are on the SNAP program, formerly known as, you know, the food stamps. And there's 40 million people in the United That's States, crazy. 40 million people that are receiving government aid to buy food. And part of what's being exposed is that most of them don't even qualify for that particular support from the government, or many of them, I should say. You know, there's also reports that's just recently come out that of the millions of illegal immigrants that have come into our country under the Biden administration, 59% of them are receiving funds from the U.S. government. And they're not even American citizens. And, you know, I think this type of thing is what's being revealed. And now you pair that with the fact that all of this support, the emergency funds that, you know, provide for these programs during a government shutdown are dwindling. So Trump shut all of this off on November 1st. And now you've got stories coming out about the amount of crime that's going to increase after the money stops flowing. So this is a big thing. And, you know, thinking about the whole political system here, Mayor, how corrupt it's become. And it's just become a not just indoctrination, but basically an infiltration of people in order to hopefully buy their votes, allow them to vote without any, citizenship or proof of citizenship and all of these things. And people are getting more and more frustrated with this, with our government and these supplemental nutrition assistance programs. That's what SNAP stands for. Mm. And this government is about to shut all this down, or this administration, who knows? You know, Amir, because we do know that, you know, within the tribulation period, you know, the cost of a single meal for a single person is going to cost a whole day's pay. And just thinking about here in our country and the world, when there was a Great Depression back in the, from 29, basically up to almost 1940, you know, you saw people standing in line, most of them in their suits, with their hat on, with their wives in a dress, holding kids, in soup lines. It was very orderly. You know, it was just organized, and people just wanted to wait their turn, get a roll and a bowl of soup in order to have something to eat that day. But I'll tell you one thing, if it gets to that place, those levels of unemployment here in our country again, it's not going to look like that under any stretch of the imagination. It will be all out anarchy. And, you know, watching these things unfold here in the U.S., you know, none of us, we've talked about this, I don't know how many times. My hope is that the reason the U.S. is not in Bible prophecy as it relates to the last days is the rapture cleans us out from sea to shining sea. But there are those who would argue we're going to follow the decline and fall pattern of the Roman Empire, free food for the masses, breakdown of the family. These are all things that Edward Gibbons wrote about in his novel, that
Everything you said is embodies in Mamdani's, philosophy. And he's going to win. He's going to become the next mayor of New York City. That's the type of person.
Yeah. Yeah, I think on the roundtable the other day, Jan mentioned 24 years after September 11th. And now they're going to vote for someone who has the same ideology of those who took down the towers and killed more Americans on American soil than any time since the Civil War. It doesn't make any sense. There's a whole lot of things that don't make sense here anymore. And, you know, we've got the U.S. congressman that is targeting Nigeria, as Christians Killing, you alluded to this earlier. And the slaughter of Christians in Nigeria requires some kind of action, according to a West Virginian congressman named Riley Moore. And he's called upon Rubio to get off his backside, basically, and respond to this. Because the truth of the matter is, this is where the bulk of, at least in recent years or months, we're seeing Christians just wholesale slaughtered. And multiple Islamic terrorist organizations have been just discriminately targeting Christians and killing them, he said in a video. And it's a systematic campaign. I mean, this is actual genocide. This is what it looks like. And the end result proves it to be so. It's amazing.
But again, let's remember, you don't know about it. You don't hear about it because no Jews.
No Jews. No news.
There you go. Yeah.
And Amir, you know, we've got this. We've got this moral breakdown that the Bible has prophesied that we're watching unfold on many levels. We've had a change of leadership over there, at least in the monarchy form over there, kind of a figurehead person when the queen died. You've got King Charles, who now has honored LGBTQ plus troops and offered a royal tribute to those once silenced in uniform. And, you know, we've got a movement similar to this going on here in the States, Amir, where there are more and more people who are talking about, you know, trans people actually have a mental issue. You know, when you feel like you're something different than your genetic predisposition, that's not just a normal thing. That's something that, you know, is evidence of something misfiring in the brain, so to speak. And, you know, Britain for 25 years, they had a ban on homosexuality, or actually they ended it, I should say, back in 1999. And between 1967 and 2000, any personnel who were thought to be gay or transgender were dismissed and discharged from the forces. And again, this was reversed in 1999. But now the King of England has laid flowers at the monument of the National Memorial Arboretum at a service attended by scores of troops and veterans. And this, you know, again, just trying to normalize something that, one, the Bible said it's sin. Two, the Bible said it's against nature. And I think that would fly under that banner of being a mental issue.
Yeah, we know we live in the last days and we see Bible prophecy being unfolded. Israel is in the center of everything. And I want to remind you all that Pastor Barry and myself wrote a wonderful book called Until He Comes. It's the 365 daily devotionals that basically center around Bible prophecy, Israel, and the last days. And as always, we need your help to make sure this book will make it to the shelves of the brick and mortar big stores. You did that very well with the other books before. We need your help. By the way, it's one of the most amazing devotionals. I'm telling you that I had, Pastor Bear and I were reading it also for the audiobook of it. So it's still fresh in my mind of all of that. And I can tell you not only that you want a copy, but this is the perfect gift for Christmas, for loved ones, friends, family, and neighbors. So get one for yourself, get more for others, and get this word out. Let the people see it in a non-Christian store, grab it, and be informed, comforted, refreshed, and maybe even get saved if they're not yet. So that said, I also want to remind you that Pastor Barry and I, and together with more speakers, will host a Bible prophecy conference aboard a ship, a big, brand new ship in July in Alaska. And during that conference, not only that we will teach from the Word, but we're also going to do a Q&A session and also teach people how to address the Israel thing to their children and their grandchildren. So it's a great value for your money. Not only that you have a vacation and a conference, but also a crash course and Q&A for Middle East and current events. So I want you to be there. We want to see you in person, sit with you, and fellowship with you. We're stuck in the same boat for 7-8 days, and we can have a good time. Pastor Barry, campus anti-Semitism surges. New report shows that global spike as students return to universities. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, it's pretty sad, Amir, that we're seeing, you know, of course, schools back in session, so to speak, and the indoctrination centers are back at their same old tricks. And, you know, we're watching this increase in anti-Semitism activity simply because the students are back on campus, at least to a degree. But the things we talked about earlier are certainly feeding into this. And, you know, it's interesting, Amir, because there are Qatar and Saudi Arabia are major contributors to some of the, especially the Ivy League universities, that are pitching a lot of this stuff to our young people. And so we're seeing, you know, 53 anti-Semitic incidents have already happened in the month of September, which is 178% increase over the previous month, and 19 were recorded. Even though students weren't on campus at that time. And, you know, the surge or resurgence, I should say, is basically the persistent problem of anti-Semitism on our colleges and universities. Mm-hmm. Because really, Amir, I think what's happening is people are starting to recognize this too late because this has been going on. And we've talked about the fact that, you know, they've been indoctrinating our kids for nearly a generation now. And they're coming out of school. Christians are sending their kids off to college, and they're getting an atheist or agnostic back because they're being bullied mentally through the educational system that, you know, if you don't understand the problem that Israel is, you know, you're just a hate monger and all these other things. But, yeah, it's again sad. And I think that is why what you're doing with young people and bringing them under full sponsorship over to see and behold Israel firsthand. It's just so very important. And I hope everybody gets on board and makes sure that can continue to happen.
Yeah, our initiative includes four main things. One is going to campuses. Two is writing curriculum for church young adult groups so they can know how to teach with facts and all of that. Number three is to have summits for young adults or Christian young adults to equip them with everything they need to have. And the last thing is to bring them to Israel to witness it with their very eyes and then create those ambassadors that can go back. Well, listen, it was an amazing Middle East and Beyond. Mm-hmm. Time was flying. I think we need to wrap it up right now. As always, I want to encourage you again, the Alaska cruise, if you want to join our Alaska cruise, that's the QR code. These are the speakers. You can scan this. And I want to remind you also, Until He Comes, our upcoming brand new book that will be out on December 2nd. But we would appreciate if you pre-order it right now, Until He Comes. 365 days devotionals based mostly focuses on Israel, Bible prophecy, and end times. And the Lord's return is the center, of course. You can scan the QR code here. Allow me to finish with the Hebrew Aaronic blessing, and Pastor Barry will do that in English. So let's do it. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה, יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious toward you. The Lord lift up his countenance toward you and give you his peace. In Yeshua's name we pray this blessing.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Guys, please share this video with as many as you can. Thank you for being with us, following us, helping us, supporting us, and being ambassadors of the truth. Thank you, Pastor Barry, for joining us today from Southern California.
Great
you
to be
have
here.
A good day. I'm going to have a good night. All right.
Okay. So, sleep well.
So again, God bless you all and see you next week. Shalom.